Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Lovely to hear. Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. I'm Hannah George. I'm, of course, not drinking tonight for obvious reasons. I'm super hungover, so... Edinburgh's wild. I'm having a little girl, which is very exciting and means that I'm going to save 17% on pocket money. So that's good, isn't it? That is good.
Allowance gap.
I should introduce my fellow detective. First up, we have Taylor Glenn.
Hello. Oh, very hesitant round of applause. Thank you. Don't worry, I'm the only American. It's more than enough, isn't it? It is great to see all of your beautiful faces. Thank you so much for coming out on a Sunday, the day of our Lord. It's a great day to solve historical crime. I feel like I should tell you fun facts. I am my mother's second favorite person on the podcast. Hannah is her favorite.
She's only human. Let's face it.
And it started as a really funny joke, and now it's just really hurt my self-esteem. I'll give you an example. I texted her this morning, and there's a slight humble brag in the story. We had a nice mention in The Observer this morning. Thank you.
I don't know whether that was patronizing or supportive, but I'll take it.
It's very similar to my mother's response. So I sent her the link and was like, look, we got a mention. She went, oh, how's Hannah feeling? I have a 10-year-old child. One year they had to make Christmas cards for their families. We saved ours till Christmas morning to open it up, and I saw, dearest Hannah, hope you have a splendid Christmas and a happy new year.
Your whole family is obsessed with me. I love it. And now a family who hates me. It's Katie Wilkins.
It's me. Hello. Hi. I haven't fallen out with either of your families or particularly impressed them, so I'm pretty neutral.
Excellent. Switzerland over there. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for our brilliant guest this evening? It's Clive Anderson.
Woo! Clive!
Hello!
Welcome!
Please have a seat. There you are, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very dubious about drinking while also recording. Years ago, I did a Radio 4 series called The Cabaret Upstairs, and I was doing stand-up comedy at the time in a place like the Comedy Store, and you always had a drink. Well, and then we started doing it on the radio, and when I heard it back, I could hear the fact that I'd had too much to drink. So I vowed never to drink and be recorded ever again.
Oh, no.
Until now.
Until now. Oh, this is exciting.
Yes.
We'd have fun and ruin careers, so let's... I'm joking. It's going to be fine. You're in very safe hands, Clive.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We have one question on this podcast.
Yes.
And that's, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Well, I've a couple of times, but recently, a couple of years ago, it must be now, I had my pocket picked. And when it's a proper, you know, and it was...
Wait, how old are you? That seems very Victorian, doesn't it?
This was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it was my mobile phone, my iPhone.
Oh, no.
So it was after sort of COVID, and I hadn't been out for a while, you know, going to things like to Pret-a-Manger and getting some money out of the bank and everything. So I did that, and I sat down outside to deal with my phone, and somebody must have been watching me, and I bought my, you know, stuff in Pret-a-Manger, which is like, I hadn't been there for 18 months. It was so exciting.
What did you get?
Oh, it doesn't matter what I got. That's the least important detail.
No, I'm like, was it
and then
Caesar
I couldn't pay for it. And I said, my phone's been nicked. And they said, don't mind, we understand you can just... I've got to go home. And so I dashed home and I could see where it was. You could find your iPhone.
Oh, yeah,
I told the police where it was. Oh. And they did a full investigation lasting 3 days and they couldn't find it. Unbelievably. And it was. I worked out where it is. There's a junction of two roads. There's a phone shop there. So I told them within 20 minutes. But that's not a really exciting crime, is it?
You solved it yourself.
I solved it, but I didn't get my phone back. In consequence, I now tie my phone to me.
Do you?
I've got a little thing.
Wow.
Listeners. Now, I've got a thing. You get a sort of lanyard, and it attaches to the phone. You can get it on the internet, but ironically, I've lost the lanyard. Can I tell another story?
Sure.
Just slightly more exciting.
Yeah,
when I was young, this is a long while ago, I was on a tube train in London, but it went out into the middle of the countryside, and we got attacked. Me and my group of friends got attacked, but I wasn't aware they were attacking us. So I was talking to my girlfriend, and there was a sort of rowdy people and smashing things up. And this is interesting, the psychology of me or anybody else, I think. As I turned around, I realized they were attacking friends of mine. Before I'd made a decision. I was up there, ready to join in.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I thought, because I'm not a violent person, but by the time I got there, I thought, ooh, what do I do? We're not going to win this fight. And I actually pulled the communication cord to prevent, which is the most exciting thing to have done, isn't it? And then, of course, they then surrounded me, and I thought, well, it's actually this is a dodgy thing to have done. And I was saved by a rather enraged middle-aged man who came to attack me for disrupting his journey home.
Oh, my God!
So we were then locked in with the attacking crowd and the enraged man, and I became the villain of the piece for a while. But So is that victim of crime? I was scarcely a victim of crime. My friends were, and I intervened, albeit in a rather wimpish way, to stop the train.
Oh, I think that's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
And that was a sound plan. Why is that thing there? To be fair, I was thinking, you pull the cord and I guess someone comes and helps you. Like, I didn't think, they just stopped the train.
They locked the doors and we were there locked in with the aggressors.
Perfect. But it was... That's the opposite of a solution. Why didn't... Because I thought that was like a medical thing, like if someone has a heart attack or something.
That's an umbilical cord. This is a communication cord. They're two different things.
Oh.
You'll discover this.
What?
Pull the communication cord. No, leave her alone.
Does it actually make a noise? I've always wondered if it's
like a silent alarm.
No, it was a screech of brakes, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
that's quite exciting.
So I think it's a claim to fame, sort of, isn't it? That I have pulled a communication cord.
Yeah, it really.
Slightly
is.
Off topic here.
Is that
I think,
on your bucket list?
Yeah.
I did it in a toilet. You know, you have the button that's if you're on a train toilet, and it says if you're in trouble. And I was in trouble in the sense that I sort of slipped, and then my elbow went into it, and then the train stopped.
Oh no!
But what's good about that is no one knew it was me because I'd locked myself in and it wasn't coming out. But then the train driver said, "Is everything all right?" I don't know why he sounded like that.
Wow.
And I said, "I'm so sorry, I did it with my elbow." And he went, "No worries, love." And then just the train went on. I thought I was going to be in trouble. I thought I'd like get fined £200.
Yeah, a penalty or something. Yeah. You're just too adorable. What? You needed...
I guess that's why my mom loves you so much.
Did anyone come and help?
Eventually, yeah, because they came to lock the doors. And then we were taken slowly to the next station where the police were called, but the guys just ran away. So no crime was solved there. We were a victim of crime, but nothing was solved. It was strong to intervene, but I think rather weak to pull the communication cord rather than just say, get off him, get off my friend, I'll sort you. I was a puller rather than a fighter.
Let that be a lesson to us all.
How soon was it between you, like, leaping up to your, for your friend's honour and going...
I did hesitate. I thought, oh, should I do that? And I sort of looked around the carriage and... If filmed, I wouldn't have looked particularly heroic. And to the people who were trying... It was the last train back from Amersham or somewhere, right out on the edge of London. I was the villain of the piece for a while. I looked like just one of the yobs pulling, you know, misbehaving. Young people, eh?
The other question we asked in this podcast is, what would you say to that person now? So what would you say to the people that started that fight?
Oh, I said that was a bit silly, wasn't it? Yeah. We could all have been friends. We were just back from seeing a play, the Caucasian Chalk Circle. We could have discussed that.
That is the most middle-class reaction
exactly.
we've ever had. Yeah.
And talking about your mother's reaction thing, you find this hard to believe at the time, but I had a lot of hair at the time, long hair. And my mother's comment was, well, if you hadn't got such long hair, perhaps they wouldn't have attacked you.
Wow.
So I think that's victim-blaming.
That is victim-blaming. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was my luscious long... But it wasn't me. They weren't attacking me. They were attacking my friends, who also had long hair. But
sure. Guilt by association. Wow, yeah. You got a little taste of victim blaming there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being attacked for my luscious hair, which is a happy memory for me now.
Well, now we've all got that image in our heads. Are we ready to solve some true crime?
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight we start our case in 1874.
Okay.
We're on the platform...
Apologies if anyone has been personally affected by this crime.
Oh, this might also be triggering for you, Clive, because
well,
we're on...
I might have been there in 1874.
Oh, God!
How cruel. I was born 3 years after that.
It's because we're on the platform of a train station.
Oh, my, really?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Uh-oh. I swear we don't set this up. It always looks like we have. The world is crazy.
Yeah. We're in Church Stretton in Shropshire.
Okay, lovely.
Do you know it?
No, but I'm admiring your ability to say it, considering you're supposed to be drunk or pregnant or both. The two often run along together.
It's certainly how I got in this mess. So there stands a local woman, 28-year-old dressmaker Sarah Duckett. She says hello to the station master and strolls off through the town towards the countryside. And that is the last time anyone ever saw her.
Oh, dear.
You're quite right.
Say that out loud.
I mean, so I've given you a small amount of information there. So just the big question at the start of all this, what crime might we be talking about today? What do we think could have happened to Sarah Duckett in Shropshire?
So she's completely disappeared. We never hear from her again?
Never hear from her again.
We just know that she was on a train platform in Shropshire, walks away, and that's it.
Yeah.
Is she
Sarah
from
Duckett?
Sorry.
She is from the town. That's her hometown.
So do we know where she'd been before she came back and disappeared?
She'd been to see the Caucasian Chalk Circle.
No. That's too much to believe.
Sarah Duckett disappeared. Sarah Duckett. That is just begging for a limerick. Sarah,
she's a definite...
Who saw her get off the train?
The station master. Okay. She also had two boxes that she left on the train station.
Oh.
But I admitted that because I could not find anywhere what was in them, and I was like, that's super boring. So,
yeah, but to leave something behind, sorry.
No,
sorry.
No, please.
Female workplace. No, you.
I'd like you to say what you wanted to say.
Yours is going to be better, please, go.
No, it's not, because I feel... This is man spreading or something, isn't it? I don't...
For the listeners, he has his legs crossed like such a gentleman as well. It's great. I've long...
Anyway.
There he goes.
What time of day or night was this?
There we go. Don't worry, I've long since forgotten what I was going to say. Oh, no, your phone fell out, but it's still tethered.
But it's safe.
It's safe. a bit like your own umbilical cord. Come on, baby.
I don't want to bite through it. I'm sure that's not,
I'm pretty sure also that's not what you do with an umbilical cord. Like, you're not climbing it like Indiana Jones, are you? No.
It isn't an umbilical cord. This is why.
Oh, okay. Well,
so what's the answer to
night
the question?
Or day?
What day or what time of day was it?
It was daytime. Question. So it was afternoon.
Right.
Broad daylight.
Yeah, broad daylight.
Did she have a secret lover?
Ooh.
So she had set it up like she was just doing her regular commute as a dressmaker would, the old dressmaker commute. left the boxes behind, but she goes to meet him and she runs away to America.
Oh, okay. So ooh, she's a slut.
No, that's good. Yeah, I was wondering if she's like faking her own death like that canoe bloke.
Oh, yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
To get the insurance money.
Or just to start a new life. Maybe she's running away from something. Or yes, in fact, I'm updating this. Yes, insurance money.
Or so, Clive, any advance on canoe or slut? Probably a question you didn't think you'd be asked tonight.
Canoe or slut? You choose. Well, I'm not a big fan of canoeing. If I'm going to be given an oar, I will... anyway, never mind. So let's concentrate on this case. This
is yes, impressive, but yeah.
I'm worried okay. that we don't know what's in this box, and you've invented the idea of a commute for dressmaking. Yeah. Dressmaking normally happens locally, I would have thought.
So, yeah, quite.
Yeah, yeah. So,
not if there's a delivery service.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So do we know where she had come from?
No, she hadn't been home for a while, though. She had been away for several months.
Uh-huh.
She comes home. People see her at the train station. They see her walk through town. She goes out to the countryside. She's never seen again.
All right. So, well, the first thing to suspect that she might have been just waylaid and murdered and her body chopped up and you know, something hideous like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hope.
Also, I love you go from waylaid straight to murdered.
Well, since she's never seen again, there's got to be something.
All of our minds went there, sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
I want her to have an illicit lover so bad, but...
The exciting thing is that 7 years later, in 1881, I lied to you, she is seen again.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Hannah.
She lied, just like the real detectives. Yeah.
So we've been I've been investigating a murder all this time.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's no murder because she's not dead.
So
that's a complete defense to murder if the person alleged to have been killed is still alive. It's better than an alibi.
You did used to be a barrister.
I did. Yeah. This is free legal advice you're getting here.
It shows. It really shows. Amazing.
Let me set the scene. It's a cold, dark night, and William Roberts, the owner of a local cider mill, is walking home after a boozy dinner when he senses someone following him.
Oh.
It's Zaza Dazza. It's Sarah Duckett. It's her. I feel like connected to her to call her Zaza Dazza.
Yeah.
However, there is something strange about Sarah Duckett this evening.
Right.
What is it?
She hasn't got two boxes with her. Strange. What do you think?
I don't know.
Is she...
She's been dead for 7 years. Feels like the origin of that little story.
Yeah, or maybe she's got, like, very sharp teeth now. And... I was going to try and pretend she was a vampire.
Has she been living in the woods on her own for these few years? Is she now tousled and you know, grimy?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like that. She's feral. She's gone feral.
She's
gone
like feral.
Like a survivalist.
Okay, she's gone like full beggar.
Or is she, more shocking, is she just full of opinions? And she's not afraid to speak them.
Well,
like a very modern woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Nothing scarier than a modern woman.
Well, let me tell you, she starts following him, but he doesn't hear any footsteps. He can only hear the rustling of her dress. Then as she gets closer,
is anybody else turned on?
Yeah. He is drunk, bear in mind, for his long dinner, so
yeah.
He might be... Did he know her previously?
He did know her. He knew who she was.
Did he... What was the expression? Did he hold a candle for her back in the day?
Oh, we should bring that expression back.
Should we?
Oh, I have no... What's the etymology? Why does that exist? Why are you holding a candle? It feels very Catholic. Is it?
Yeah.
It feels terribly Catholic.
There's different ways you can go with that concept of a candle. I don't know.
Very true.
I was just trying to bring up a Victorian flavour to the question.
No, yeah. I like that.
No,
I like
but thank
that.
You. So, okay, so he might have held a candle to her, for her.
For her, not to her.
That's awesome, isn't it? Yes, that's not ideal.
No, but did he have a relationship with her anywhere? Or was he just somebody who would recognise her?
Yeah, he was just somebody from the town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But then he realises that he can see straight through her.
Oh, what is happening now?
How much cider has this man had?
Guys, it's a ghost. I'm sensing people don't believe me. That's going to...
Well... You've brought me here on false pretenses. You said this was a crime podcast when things are analysed rationally and with evidence.
It's a
but
crime.
Now this is the ghost story. This is spooky. This is paranormal.
A crime against logic.
Well, I mean, but this is why we need a barrister on the show, because, like, this is the question I'm going to ask you first. As a criminal barrister...
Yes.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't really believe in ghosts, but every now and then somebody tells you a story that makes, you know, your spine tingle and you go, oh, there's no explanation for that. I'm not sure being a criminal barrister really helps with that opinion one way or the other. So
you've never seen a ghost?
I haven't ever seen a ghost.
Taylor?
No. I don't actually believe in ghosts and I'm very cynical, but I had a really crazy experience once. I feel like I've shared it on the podcast. But it was one of those things that I can't explain. I woke up to the sound of my bedroom door opening, and I could vaguely see it. But then when I stood up to check out, you know, did the wind blow it open? There was this little handbag that my daughter liked to play with, propping the door open, which made no sense because it had clearly opened. I had seen it open. But I was like, you're just tired. Go and check. Has somebody in the house? This is really creepy. So I walked out. This is a flat in London, old flat. Oh, it freaks me out because I'm so cynical and I can't explain it. I walked out in the hallway, checked our front door. It was secure. It was locked. When I turned back around where I had just walked down the hallway, there was a box of Lego stacked up on its side right in the middle of the hallway where I had just walked.
You just have a child, don't you?
I thought my child was messing with me. I was like, God, she's a pain. And I went and she was sound asleep. So unless she did all that, stacked it, and then ran and pretended to be asleep, oh, that's probably what happened. We solved it. Okay.
Or it's the opposite of a poltergeist, because poltergeists normally move things around and push things over, push them off the shelf. This is a poltergeist that tidies things up and makes it it's a helpful poltergeist.
A helpful poltergeist.
A geisterpolt.
Here's the thing. So what happens next?
Wait, does Katie believe in ghosts?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Move us along.
Okay. Katie's got some fucked up opinions about ghosts.
I think it's triggering to her, actually.
She thinks the ghosts are taking over the country. We should build a wall.
So Sarah, according to William, removes the cotton bonnet from her head, holds it out to him. Mm. Then as quickly as she appears, she disappears, passing straight through a hedge towards a disused mine shaft that had been filled in 7 years ago.
Ooh. Is she in a prom dress?
So here starts the case of the ghost of Copper Hole.
Well, Copper Hole.
That's what it says. That's what it's called.
Okay, Copper Hole. I'm going nowhere with that.
No, I won't tell you what I was Googling in order to find this.
Well, this fits with my theory, okay. My earlier announced theory that she'd been murdered and chopped up. She might have been buried in Copper Hole.
Yes.
Ooh. But she has now come out of Copper Hole to tell the world, or tell Robert, did you say his name?
William.
William.
Very close.
William Roberts. William Roberts.
Yeah, very nice.
William Roberts. To tell William Roberts that dig here and you will find my remains.
Yes. Well, this is exactly what William thought. And he went to the town and he told everyone what he'd seen. And he said, I've just seen Sarah. I think... that 7 years ago she was murdered. I think she was put down the Copper Hole. So basically other people in the town started sharing their stories of where they had seen Sarah Duckett. Other people had seen this ghost.
Right. Did she like Lego?
Well, where do you think the locals had seen this ghost?
Ooh.
People had said they'd... It was only when a man had claimed to have seen it that everyone went, oh, my God! But until then...
Wait, were all the other witnesses women and he was the first man?
Do you know what? There was one elderly man, but that doesn't count.
Elderly men don't count. Okay.
That's a bit
I get what you're saying.
But, like, elderly for, like, 18 thingies, so he was, like, 40 or something. So where else do you think Sarah popped up? Allegedly, we'll say.
Was she hanging around the dressmaker's shop?
Okay.
The pub. The tavern or whatever it would be. The church, maybe the churchyard.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm. Nice.
What else do you get in Shropshire in those days? Were there shops and things?
Village Green? A Village Green?
Yeah. Oh, so I'm looking for a house around there. It sounds rather lovely. I'm not looking for a house around there.
Look, he's just invented this town. Yeah. I should move
sounds
there.
Sounds great.
Sounds great.
Lovely part of the world. Lovely. Green, verdant. Yeah.
I wonder if she's haunting whoever killed her.
Ooh.
So I don't know who that... I'm just picturing...
Katie just blew this case wide open.
Well, apparently a local woman said Sarah's ghost appeared through her parlour window. So she's a bit of a perv.
That's invasive, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is what ghosts do, isn't it?
An old man said that he was walking home when she appeared and blocked his route, causing him to faint. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who to believe here, but William's story was the one that really sort of caught the imagination.
Because he was a man.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. So he was convinced, like you said, exactly what you said, is that he was convinced Sarah was murdered on her way from the train station 7 years ago. Body was buried in Copper Hole. So what did the town decide to do about it?
I hope they dig up the copper hole. Is that what you're saying? Or hall?
Hole.
Hole, yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't make that up myself. Yeah, I'm hoping they dig it up and look for remains, look for some
bones.
Yeah,
they're going to dig up the mine shaft.
Yeah, dig up the mine shaft.
Well, they do that, but they feel like they can't do it for free. They need funding for it. So what do they do to try and get the money?
Crowdfund?
Yeah, they put on a show. They do a podcast to make money.
I love that. We interrupt this dig for Squarespace.
I think they do a bake sale.
Oh, did they go to the local squire and say, can you provide the money? And he said, no, I'm not going to pay money to dig up Copper Hole. Leave it undug.
Throwing
suspicion on him.
Suspect.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, shit.
It's all the way to the top. If a squire is at the top.
Is a squire at the top?
Well, it's the top of this story, isn't it? Yeah. I feel you're about to say, no, that did not happen, and you'll give us some other facts. That we have to know how they raised the money to dig the...
Well, just a guess.
Stripping.
Stripping, nice.
Mines.
What they did,
you're filthy.
Drunk women solving crime.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What is interesting is that it's, you know, true crime and this obsession with kind of the morbid has been around since the 1800s because it got in the newspapers, like it went all around the country, basically, that this guy had seen this ghost and that this town wanted to dig up this mine. So basically, William sets up a stall at the front of the mine and charges people to come and watch them dig.
Chessington, World of Adventures.
Wow.
Also, he sets up a bar so you can have a pint whilst you're watching.
Wow.
And people flocked and he would tell them his story like a showman. So really he did put on a show.
Okay.
And he said, this is what happened. And so basically, a few days later, people started to lose patience because they weren't finding... You know,
is it taking too long to get down this fucking mine shaft?
Yeah, well, they get to the bottom and there's nothing there.
Oh,
no.
I know. I mean, disappointing. We wanted some body parts.
Really did.
But then some new evidence came to light. What evidence was that? What happened next?
Did they find some of her clothing or something down the mine shaft?
Okay, clothing down the mine shaft.
Oh, I hope there's bones.
Okay.
I want some bones.
But that doesn't sound that... If you said that she's not there, we can't now say there are bones, because there she is there.
But okay, somewhere yeah. else,
somebody,
not in the
somebody
not
else's
mine.
Bones.
Some, no, somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's a new piece of evidence, so mm-hmm. it's not to do with...
A letter arrives from someone.
I mean, yes, barrister, yes!
Oh!
Wow!
Well, how did you know that?
I don't know, I don't know. I'm just desperately thinking things. What could have happened?
Were you a squire in another life?
So a letter, but who from? From her?
Well,
oh. No. From somebody said, I done her in.
Well, they signed it One Who Knows.
Oh.
So it was anonymously dropped off at one of the shops that you were talking about. And the person said they knew the real location of Sarah Duckett.
Oh. Okay.
It said, you will fail to find the body of Sarah Duckett in Copperhole. Look in the cellar of the toll bar. Examine the part nearest the road in the left-hand corner.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this is very familiar, things like the Ripper and the Yorkshire Ripper and all these people claiming to know what's going on, claiming to have done it. These unreliable, these letters, especially
yes.
arriving at this time when there's added interest. So you yeah. take this with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, yes. It feels like they're not going to find anything there. They're going to dig up a bar for no reason.
Yeah, I can't work out if it's going to be a wild goose chase or if this is just... If somebody's the one who knows, why are they coming forward now? Like, number one, 7 years later. Number two, after everyone's already dug up a mine shaft, they could have saved them some time. Like,
yes. But that's just it. There's interest about it, so I can get a bit of attention by penning the letter.
So then wild goose chase then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who do you think could have sent it?
Well, it could be just...
Well, not the barman. The barman's enemy. Sorry, I talked over you. Female workplace.
The barman's enemy?
Yeah, because his bar's about to get trashed if they're going to dig up the bar.
Oh, a rival bar. I like that. I've never sounded so American. A bar. Yeah, the bar.
You guys are so obsessed with drinking that it's the toll bar, which isn't a bar.
Oh, my God.
Just where you pay to go along the road. So, yeah.
Okay, we better hear from the barrister again.
Thank God you're here, Clive.
This could just be a prankster, or it could be the real murderer trying to suggest somewhere where you might dig, where he or she could be.
Nice. Oh, well done, feminism. Could we could kill too.
Yeah. They could be, you know, sending you off to dig another wrong place. So that's going to put you off keeping going until you find the right place.
Yes. So right murderer, wrong place.
Yeah, it could be. It's dangerous. I think that's a dangerous course for the real murderer to adopt, because he's now providing evidence, you know, ink and letters and all sorts of things that might be... It's pre-fingerprints, so you haven't got to worry about that.
No. Well, yeah, very true, very true. Do you think they find anything at this new spot?
I'm just mad that Tollbar wasn't a pub.
Yeah. It probably is nowadays. It's the old murder toll bar.
Yeah, yeah. BYOB.
So they don't find anything, guys.
Okay.
However, pretty soon another letter gets sent.
Oh, dear.
This time to a local newspaper, which is very Jack the Ripper. Mm. So this time it's from Sarah herself. What? What do you think it says?
I'm dead. I'm about to die. I hope the post office delivers this in time to somebody who can intervene and doesn't take 7 years to get to you. P.S. I can't afford a stamp.
I mean, make no, it's not that. Taylor?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
What do you think the letter says from Sarah?
Your answer was so good that I forgot what the question was. Sorry. From Sarah. I think somebody's still messing with them, so it just gives yet another location, and these poor people are going to go dig up another spot and find nothing.
So Sarah says, I am buried in...
Yeah.
That's from Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine. Yeah.
Didn't you read The Lovely Bones? Come on.
I reckon she names the killer, but says, like, but it was an accident. So even though it was old Tommy, what's his face? Go easy on him. He's in, like, let him off. Or something like that.
Wow. That's a brilliant Tommy Shropshire accent, face. Though. That was. We could always be there, couldn't we?
Apparently, Sarah says she's alive and well and living with her husband in Worcestershire. Oh. Taylor, that's Worcester. Wait, what, how do Americans say Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire?
Yeah. Just wanted to hear you say it.
But no, I grew up eating Worcestershire sauce, so I've always known how to say it. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah.
Before you two fall out over pronunciation, the significant thing is that's not very far away, is it? Shropshire to Worcestershire is just nearby.
Well, I'm glad someone knows that.
This is very checkable. And also, why is she only writing this? She doesn't care that everyone's thought she's dead for 7 years. Didn't she give them a forwarding address?
Well, she says in the letter, she said she had no knowledge that her ghost was wandering about.
No.
I can only apologise.
And she says she should have been consulted before liberties were taken with her spirit.
Wow.
But has she got a family? Are there a mother, father, sisters, brothers?
Yeah.
Anything like that?
Yeah, she does have a family. She has a family, but they haven't seen her for 7 years either. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
this is like if I were to disappear, my family would only be in touch with Hannah. I get it.
She's estranged from her family.
She has been gone for 7 years.
But are you leading us on? Is this actually from Sarah? Or are you just messing with us again? I'll never trust again after this episode.
Well, it says it's from Sarah. Mm-hmm. However, someone else from the community steps in to investigate. So I want to ask you, who was it? Who was the person at this stage that goes, right, I'm going to take this on and I'm going to investigate it? I'll give you a clue. It's got an ITV daytime drama vibe to it.
It's a vicar.
Okay, a vicar?
Yeah. No?
I mean, it was a vicar. It was a vicar.
Here we go.
It was a sexy vicar.
Is the vicar prepared to travel to Worcestershire?
Actually, no, he doesn't. He does not travel. He was the Reverend Holland Sandford.
Oh.
Holland?
Yes, odd name. Like,
we just don't do names as well as we used to. That's an excellent name.
Holland. Yeah.
Holland Sanford. And he knew the Duckett family very well. So he knew Sarah. And he decided he was going to sort out this mystery once and for all. Hmm. So he knew the letter couldn't have come from Sarah. How did he know that?
Because he knew her handwriting.
Because
he knew she couldn't write. Or maybe, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say because he killed her.
Because he killed her. Nice.
Because it was in Sanskrit. Am I right?
Well, actually, Clive is right. She was illiterate, so...
I wasn't laughing at that.
Yeah, the vicar knew that Sarah didn't know how to read and write.
Wow.
Yeah.
So knew that this ridiculous letter about liberties being taken with her spirit was just...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he saved himself a train journey to Worcestershire.
Yeah.
Well, what he did do is went to talk to Sarah's family and said, like, what was the last thing you heard from Sarah or about Sarah? And the last thing they had heard was that she was in a workhouse in Worcestershire. So they'd heard that.
Oh.
They didn't know how true it was. So rather than actually going to Worcestershire...
Being in a workhouse is very much like a marriage. So the letter had some credibility.
Oh, right, yeah. Very nice.
Thanks. Two people.
So the Rev writes to them for more information. He writes to the workhouse, and within a couple of weeks, the workhouse do get back to him and say that, yes, Sarah was there. She had been there, at least.
Since she had disappeared?
Since she had disappeared.
Really?
So she was there for 2 years. When she left the train station, she goes and, for some reason, goes to this workhouse. And she's there for two reasons.
I don't think anyone chose to go to a workhouse.
Yeah, I mean, she ends up in this workhouse.
She ends up in the workhouse.
And it's legitimate. It is her. This is the first time we hear something solidly from her. She's there for 2 years. Then something happens. What happens?
Well, she's either died or gone to London or got married. Those are three possibilities.
The three options for women. Yeah.
Which is the worst?
Wow.
So marriage or death, what do you guys think?
She's realised the workhouse isn't all it's cracked up to be. I have a feeling she maybe just gets ill and dies.
Okay.
But then why wouldn't her family have been informed already?
Well, they didn't have any contact with the workhouse at all. They
They're
just
not
heard
a very close-knit family.
They can't write either, can they?
Yeah, so, I mean, I will tell you, sadly, she dies. Mm. So she was never murdered. Uh-huh. So
you know what? The real crime was the fun we had along the way.
So basically, she gets. She was suffering from acute rheumatism. Oh. She makes a speedy recovery. As she's leaving the doctor of the ward that day, she collapses and she dies.
Oh.
Of weakness and starvation, or just any particular reason?
He's like,
no, but it's just.
Come on, when does she get cut up? Yeah. Says Clive.
We want to know the end of the story. We haven't really explained why she just wandered off from the railway station, because if she wanted to go to the Worcestershire workhouse, she should have stayed on the train or taken a return journey or whatever. But she's wandered off, and now she's got to get from the woods to Worcestershire, which is, I mean, think of the distance that is. You all know from your studies of British geography, that's a long way.
Do you know what? I'm not entirely sure how she ended up there. So basically, what do
Maybe
you think?
Maybe the Worcestershire workhouse was a pub. Yeah. We're back to that. It was like Coyote Ugly. It was a big deal to get a job there.
So what do you think actually became of Sarah's body? So there was all of this. I mean, this was absolutely huge, the talk of this ghost. Like I say,
yeah.
It was in all of the newspapers. Everyone thought it was this massive conspiracy. The vicar finally comes in, finds out she died of natural causes.
Who wrote the letters?
Well, that's the question. Who did write the letters? Who do you think?
Oh, do you actually know?
No.
Oh. They're pranksters. There's the as we've discussed, the Jack the Ripper-y and Yorkshire Ripper. There are always people coming in and pretending, throwing the authorities off the scent for fun.
Yes, yeah. And I think it was no more than that. And I don't even, I mean, this is just me like saying, but I feel like the person who wrote the letter as Sarah isn't even the same person that wrote the letter saying
no,
that they're
different
the one
tone.
Who knows.
Oh, different tone.
So yeah. Was she buried in a pauper's grave at the back of the workhouse?
It's very
or
much
something?
Alien One versus Aliens, isn't it? It's just, you can tell it's just a little bit different. Sorry.
I love that you were talking about a pauper's grave. And you were like, I didn't say alien.
No. I warned you. You're like, do you actually get drunk for this? I'm like, no. Well, towards the end.
Yeah.
Also, I just realized that you're wearing Doc Martens. That's fucking awesome.
Is that all right? But you're
so
wearing
cool.
Plimsolls.
Yeah.
As in the modern way.
Which is not cool. No one has ever been like, Plimsolls. That's awesome.
Well, they're... Yeah.
Right, we've lost Taylor.
It's fine, yeah. It's fine. Did she get a proper burial? Was this the question? She got a proper burial at the local church. The vicar arranged it so that they could finally acknowledge what had actually happened and put this ghost nonsense to bed.
Okay. That wasn't exactly the question, but... What do you think? Because the vicar was like, well, what's happened to her body? Because he did want to get it back for the family.
Well, I think the pauper's grave sounds like the...
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly more bleak than that.
The pauper's grave is also a pub.
So where there's
so many pubs.
Yeah. Come here and get slaughtered.
Hey, come on. Yeah. Apparently, she was donated to a local anatomical school, which happened to a lot of people in the workhouse.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that bleak?
Was cut up.
Yes!
Hey!
We said that originally.
Hey!
It's just done by medical students.
Yeah, which is... Right, well, I mean, that is really where our story ends with
goodness.
Sarah Duckett. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Sarah Duckett.
Sarah Duckett.
Sarah Duckett.
Also, give me a cheer if you believe in ghosts.
Oh.
Okay, give me a cheer if you don't.
Give us a cheer if you are a ghost.
Yeah, yeah, but that first uh-huh. but that first woo. Cheer might have been ghosts. You believe in ghosts?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the final part of the podcast, which is where we ask if any of you guys have been the victim of a crime.
Oh, wow.
Oh, a nice straight hand at the back.
That's
give her a round of applause.
Enthusiastic hand.
You got it.
Yeah. Woo! Don't stop now. It's horrible when the applause stops.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, all right.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
What's your name?
Jude.
Jude, tell us.
Hey, Jude.
Help.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Like she's never, she's never heard that before. Never.
It's how I got it. It's
legit. What a fucking hack. I hate myself right now, if that helps.
It was on the radio as I came out the hospital. It's how I got the name.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Because I was meant to be Michael. And They weren't there then.
Yeah. I'm known as Norwegian Wood, but that's for completely different reasons.
Jude.
Hi, Jude.
Hiya. Welcome to the stage. Tell us, when were you the victim of a crime?
So this was over a decade ago, when I was still a student in the grand, terrible city of Derby. Don't bother. So we were on a night out for my friend Kat's birthday, and I was the victim of a quite impressive mugging.
Ooh.
That then I received little to no help.
No,
it's fine, because it was really funny, and I'm here now, so that's all worked out in the end. We'd been on a night out, and I walked along the road, and I describe it as, and in my police record somewhere, it is described as a jousting, because...
Wait, how old are you?
My mugger came down Saddlegate, which is kind of an old bumpy street, on his bicycle.
Oh.
And I had my handbag over my arm, and he just scooped it off my hand.
Wow.
And I went, that man's got my bag. But I said it at such a high pitch. Just, that man's got my bag. But 5 minutes previously, I'd been weeping kind of hysterically about a squirrel, because I am a bit mad. I was dead. It was a dead squirrel, and I'm a bit mad, and my friends are a bit over that shit. So they just thought, oh, fucking a squirrel. And left me to...
How, so then, like, was it just, like, it had been hit by a car or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, sad squish. So we then rang the police, who were also unhelpful.
About the squirrel or about the mugging?
Neither. Didn't remember. So they sent a 16-seat van to me on the end of the road, and I had four friends. And I said, and they said, come and make a statement. I said, can I come tomorrow? We're on a night out. And they said, no, now. And I said, okay, come on, gang, let's get in there. And they went, no, one friend. And I said, okay. Gail. Gail was our oldest friend, therefore mum of the night. So me and Gail got in the van with all our other 12 empty seats, and the two policemen went to the police station. I made my statement, and then all my friends walked there, and then they all walked back as I left in the van to go back to town. Oh. They'd all just got to the police station. Sad.
Did the police drop you back to your night out?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But then they weren't there because they'd gone to the police station.
Why? Why would they only allow one friend? I don't understand the logic of that. Weren't they all witnesses?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good job I've got a barrister here. Clark.
Well, I suspect it's just one of those rules that people have or make up. It's to do with insurance. And they say, we've got to take you in the van.
Oh.
You may need to be accompanied by somebody else. But the insurance wouldn't cover all people out on a huge night in the back of the van.
Oh,
but but it'd be much more convenient all around if they had all been able to get in there.
Yeah.
It was also a really mad statement as well, because they said, what was in your bag?
Yes.
And you said, a squirrel.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm a classy girl, so I'd had previous nights out with this bag, and I said, well, there's some loose cheese from Chips and Cheese, and I just rammed in there. And
but they wanted to know things like keys and phones.
But there
and
was more cheese
not,
than keys.
Not the things at the bottom.
More cheese than keys.
Classic girl. Cheese in my bag.
Scream pubs at the time had little monkeys on their menu, and I used to peel all the monkeys off and put them in my bag. So it was like also about 16 pictures of monkey faces.
It's the thief I feel sorry for. He's taken this bag, and all he's got is a bag load of litter.
Pretty much. It's fine.
Jude, I absolutely love you. I'm just going to say that now.
So what was the upshot of this? Did you never got the bag back? They never found the perp?
No.
Wow.
It's okay. It's fine.
A jousting.
It's a jousting.
A jousting. Oh.
Right.
It's great. It's really impressive.
That really diminishes the art of jousting, in my opinion, but...
Cool. I don't know anything else about jousting.
Just saying.
Wow. Well, I mean, does anybody have any... it's
like
difficult.
Who did it?
We can't solve it, I don't think.
I think it was a stranger.
Yeah. you lost your bag, but you've won some Prosecco.
Yay! Oh, fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For the lawyers, it's actually kava.
Yeah.
It's a kava.
Sounds as more valuable than the bag from the bits of old cheese and stuff.
I will never forget that classic woman, bag full of cheese.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just enough time to ask Norwegian Wood, what? Let's make it stick.
Yeah. What? Well, that's the... Yeah,
what are you up to? Where can they find you?
Well, you can find me. I do as many things as possible at the moment. But here in Edinburgh, I have a podcast, which
yes.
I do in front of an audience. It's called My Seven Wonders. So a different guest comes on every night and they describe the seven wonders of their world. They can be small things or grand things like the ancient wonders of the world. And it provides an hour-long conversation. I do a program on Radio 4 called Loose Ends. We make that, there's some episodes of that here as well.
But what's your address? We won't put it out.
No. Yeah.
Right, I think it's almost time to stop frightening clowns.
Yeah. The whole thing's been terrifying. Right. I don't know whether to keep quiet and, you know, not conform to male stereotypes or keep talking and join in. But which way around to go? I don't know.
I actually think you nailed it. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. There's 250 episodes of this podcast if you want to listen to more of it. Once again, thank you to Clive Anderson. Cheers!
Yay! Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.